when I walked into the shul tonight, and for me it was to see the beautiful furniture here, and on every bench I saw the words Vishavu Banim Ligvulam. Well, all of these shiurim deal with Shavu Banim Ligvulam. Shemitah was not a major problem until Klal Yisrael came. All of you who come from, Rav Soloveitchik once said to me, I was the director, the dean of the yeshiva, and he used to talk, he used to come into my office and talk to me a lot, and he said, I don't want you ever to say the word diaspora. Why? He says, you must say, as we say it in Yiddish, the bitter diaspora, because if you say the word diaspora, that means you have a choice. It's multiple choice. Some people live in Eretz Yisrael, and some people live in Chutz Laretz. But we must differentiate, and in Yiddish, they always use the expression, der bittere golus, the bitter diaspora. And he said, don't you ever talk about Chutz Laretz in any other way except bitter diaspora, and of course, Eretz Yisrael. And so, Baruch Hashem, we're in Eretz Yisrael. I want to talk today about Trumot Maestro. First of all, when we talk about Trumot Maestrot, before we get it is a very, very complicated problem. I wish I had a board here where I could put a diagram on the board, but I'll try to explain the Hafrashot Trumot Maestro.
From the Beit Midrash.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll see if we need it, okay? If we need it, maybe we can explain it without that.
It's next room.
Okay, if we... First of all, let us see, what does the Torah have to say about Trumot Maestrot? What are the psukim in the Torah that speak about Trumot Maestrot? Next, after that, we'll ask the question if Trumot and Maestrot today in Eretz Yisrael is the Oraita or the Rabbanon. By the way, the very same thinking that we'll have in Trumot Maestrot is the thinking in Shmita, except for the Kesef Mishnah in a Rambam who wants to say that Trumot Maestrot is the Rabbanon, and there is a contradiction in the Kesef Mishnah. In one place he says that according to the Rambam's opinion, Shmita today is Min HaTorah. Another place he says that Shmita is the Rabbanon, but we're not going to go into that. That's much, much, it's not in the realm of the Shiur today. The Torah says as follows. There is something called Truma Gedola. Truma Gedola, the Torah says in two basic psukim, et kol chelev yitzhar v'kol chelev tirosh v'dagan asher natnu la'ashem l'chanet hatim. There is the five species, which are wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelts. There is olives, oil of olives, and there is tirosh, the grapes, and grape juice, and wine. These are the only products that we have a chiyuv of Trumot Umaisrot Midoraita. The Torah speaks about only these products. In other words, if we can say there are only seven products, the Oraita, the five species, Eretz, Chita, Usaora, and you know that Chita has a daughter, one daughter, Saora has two daughters. When we say the Shiva Taminim, Shenishtapchu Bahen Eretz Yisrael, the seven species that Eretz Yisrael was praised with, we don't really mean seven. We mean 10 ninim, the five species plus the five fruits. But not all of the five fruits are we obligated min haTorah to take Trumot Maestrot. Only from, as I say, olives and their derivatives, grapes and their derivatives, wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelts. Now, Truma Gedola, the Torah does not give us a shiur. The Torah nowhere tells us how much shall be Truma Gedola. Truma Gedola is that which we are obligated to give to Mr. Cohen. Mr. Cohn, who, if he had real yichus today, and you know there's a great machloket in Achronim, if today's Kohanim, after all, are there any Kohanim here? I'm going to be very careful. Any Kohen here in the Tzibur? After all, we do have a Kohen for Pidyon HaBen. We have a Kohen for Kriyat HaTorah. But however, the question is, do we see this as real yichus mishpachot, or it's only a chazaka of dorei dorot? This is a great machloket. Incidentally, I just happened to see yesterday, it's an interesting topic about the kahuna, the latest volume of the Encyclopedia Talmudit, Chof Zion, which just came out. There is an article there about Kohen and Kohen Gadol. It's a must for everybody to read if you want to know what is a Kohen today. And it's not too difficult. This is all in English here. In Hebrew, it's certainly not too difficult to read. Anyway, Truma Gedola is to be given to the Kohen, and there is no Shi'ur. There is not an amount which is given. And this is very important for us to understand when we come to what we're going to do with Truma Gedola today. After giving Truma Gedola, afterwards, whatever he takes off, we'll talk about an amount in a few minutes, one must give 10% to Mr. Levy. Mr. Levy and his family, we're going to discuss what's the difference between Truma Gedola. This is called Maaser Rishon. Now, Mr. Levy is obligated, if he receives the Maaser Rishon, he is obligated to give 10% of his Maaser Rishon, which he receives, and that is called Trumat Maaser. He gives this to Mr. Cohn and family. Now, the total amount, and this is very important, the total amount that has to be given in terms of the Torah's measurement to the Kohen will be 1%. Why do I say 1% of the entire amount of products? Remember, we took off something for Truma Gedola. Let's leave this aside. Let's say we have now 100 apples. Now, Maaser Rishon will be 10 of these apples. We had 100 apples plus a little bit. You'll see why I say this little bit. It'll make it much easier to understand. Now, Maaser Rishon is 10% and means that Mr. Levy receives 10 apples. But Mr. Levy has to give, if Mr. Levy receives the Maaser, has to give 10% of what he received, which will be one apple. So the entire amount that has to be given min haTorah to Mr. Cohn and family is 1% plus the smallest amount possible. And you'll see what I mean in a few minutes. The smallest amount possible for Truma Gedola, because it does not have a measure. Now, Truma Gedola is given in years 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the Shemitah cycle. Year 7, we do not have to give Truma to Maestrot because the fruit on the trees do not belong to us. And you only give Truma and Maestrot from that which you have ownership in, that you are the Baal. And therefore, next year, the fruits that have Kedushat Shvit and so forth will not have this din. Then these are given all 6 years of the cycle. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The Torah, however, says you're not through yet. You're left with 90 apples. We had 100 apples plus a little bit more. We're now left with 90 apples. 10% of those apples, you are to take your family and say, old folks, young folks, everybody come to Yerushalayim and have a lot of fun. Leave your chewing gum and tobacco and hashmonaim and come for spiritual enjoyment in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. And you come to Yerushalayim, and you, those nine apples, we'll discuss how you select nine apples to Yerushalayim, but the nine apples are to be eaten in Yerushalayim, and this separation of what we call Maaser Sheni is year one, year two, year four, year five. What about three and six? Well, we have another Maaser. That is called Maaser Ani, Maaser that is given to the poor. That takes the place of Maaser Sheni in years three and six. This is the basic structure. Now, at the time that we had a Beit, first of all, what about Trumot Maaser today? We know that everything is rabbinic except for these seven products, which are Min HaTorah. What is the situation today? Well, basically, we have two sanctifications of Eretz Yisrael. There is the sanctification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, L'zaracha natati et ha'aretz hazot, it was mine, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it belongs to you. This Kedusha remains forever. There is nothing which can take Kedusha Eretz Yisrael out, no matter who conquers Eretz Yisrael. And if there isn't a single Jew in Eretz Yisrael, there is still Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. But for what we call mitzvot hatluyot ba'aretz, such as Trumot and Maaserot, we have to have another activity. And what is that activity? This in itself is problematic, but we'll see. When the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael, the moment they entered Eretz Yisrael, they were responsible for to keep the mitzvah of challah because of the special pasuk of bevoachem, and also certain other mitzvot immediately, such as chadash. Chadash, I'm not going to go into that. That doesn't really apply to what we're talking about today. And 14 years later, after what we call kibush v'chiluk, when Yehoshua conquered Eretz Yisrael, and it was divided among the Shvatim, at the conclusion of this division, we were obligated to separate the Trumot and Maaserot. Trumot and Maaserot are only an obligation when we have fields which we can call our own fields. The final Chalukah, or division of Eretz Yisrael, took place 14 years after Yehoshua entered Eretz Yisrael. 7 years later was the first Shemitah. In other words, the first Shemitah was 21 years after Am Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael. Everything is fine until the year 586, when we have the first Galut of Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Babel. Now the question is, does the sanctification which took place by Am Yisrael, by coming into Eretz Yisrael, settling it, and therefore having the obligation of Trumot to Maaserot, does this end with the conquering of Eretz Yisrael by Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel, or does it continue? Great machloket of Tanoim and Amoroi. The Psak Halacha is that Kedusha Rishona, meaning the Kedusha, or as the Gemara uses a few places, Yerusha Rishona, Kedusha Rishona or Yerusha Rishona, Kiddusha Lisha'ata, was sanctified Lisha'ata, for its hour, Velo Kiddusha Le'atid Lavo. It was not sanctified afterwards. In other words, we had somebody living in Eretz Yisrael all alone after the Nebuchadnezzar drove him out from Eretz Yisrael. He, according to the halacha, has a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, because Kedushat Eretz Yisrael is something which is permanent. However, Trumot and Maestrot needed an action. What was that action? That action was the kibush, the conquering of Eretz Yisrael. That's a very bad word in certain left-wing circles, but it means a very great deal to us, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says v'chibshuha, and we fulfill the word kibush. Kibush is a wonderful word. Oh, okay. Now comes along Ezra, and he conquers Eretz Yisrael. And of course, now we have the entrance of the Olei Bavel into Eretz Yisrael, and we have the Kedusha Shnia for Trumot and Maestrot, the second sanctification. Now, in order to clarify the difference between the first sanctification and the second, with your permission, I would like to read two excerpts from the Rambam. One is in Hilchot Beit HaBchira, Perek Vav, Halacha Tet Zayin, and the other in Hilchot Trumot, Perek Aleph, Halacha Vav, and I will translate it into this non-Hebraic language. The Rambam says the following: V'lama ani omer b'migdash v'Yerushalayim kedusha rishona kidusha la'atid lavo. Why do I say that the sanctity of Yerushalayim, the sanctity of everything in Eretz Yisrael, remains forever? Ubikdushat shar Eretz Yisrael le'inyan shvi'it u'maestrot v'kayotzei bahen lo kidusha la'atid lavo. What is the difference? If Eretz Yisrael is holy, why is it holy for mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? And it's not holy with this break for the mitzvot of Trumot u'maestrot. Says the Rambam, lefi shekdushat hamigdash v'Yerushalayim mipnei ha-shechina. Shechina, I think in English, would be the omnipresence. Is that how you say it, Rabbi Hech? And because of the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, u'shechina eina b'teva. Nothing can take the Shechina away from Eretz Yisrael. V'harehu omer, there is a pasuk in Vayikra, v'hashimoti et mikdashchem, I will make desolate your holy places, in the Tochacha. V'yamru chachamim, afal pi she shimumim v'kdushatan heim omdim, even though they are destroyed, they are still holy. Avol chiyuv ha'aretz b'shvi'it u'b'maestrot eino ela mipnei kibush rabim. You conquered Eretz Yisrael with Yehoshua. V'kevan shenilkecha ha'aretz miyadam batel ha'kibush v'niftera min ha'torah mi'maestrot u'mishvi'it shaharei einah min Eretz Yisrael. You conquered. Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel conquered you. The conquering of Nebuchadnezzar is Mevatel, breaks the conquering of you in the days of Yehoshua. The Kevan Shela Ala Ezra. But when Ezra returned to Eretz Yisrael 7 years later, Lo Kidusha B'Kibush, Ema B'Chazaka She'asikuba. A very difficult phrase. The Rambam says, kibush is not going to be the basic factor. The basic factor is that you settled in Eretz Yisrael and you built and you put up fences. And in Yehoshua's days, we didn't have the chazaka. What happened after Yehoshua conquered Eretz Yisrael? People went ahead and had chazaka. So why does the Rambam differentiate and say the first Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael came about because of conquering? Somebody else conquers you, goodbye. The second Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is because you built and settled and made your homes there and had Chazaka, you obtained Eretz Yisrael. What? They had that in the first place. This is a great difficulty in the Rambam. And one of the best answers I ever saw is an answer given by Rabbi Zalman Meltzer in his Perush on the Rambam. And he says as follows. The first Kiddusha for Trumot Maisrot was a Kiddusha which basically started that there was an enemy that didn't want you to come in. Your entire koach was kibush. You conquered it from somebody who was living in Eretz Yisrael. In the second entering of Eretz Yisrael, in the days of Ezra, there is dat hanotein, says them, v'dat hamekadem. Because Cyrus, the king of Persia, who was ruling Eretz Yisrael, what does he tell Nehemiah and Ezra? Go back to Eretz Yisrael. Go back. So there is no coerced conquering, but there is a return to Eretz Yisrael when the person or the group of people who are in control are telling you to go back, and you go back. There is no kibush. There is no kibush. When there is, says Rabbi Sir Zalman, dat hanotein, Cyrus, king of Persia, v'dat hamekabel, unfortunately, not all of Am Yisrael, but the group that came back, because others said, we have our stockbrokers here in Babylonia, we have our three cars, we're making $200,000 a year. No, that's not for us. We're not going back there, it's Israel. So we're staying here. So again, we had the same kind of a problem that we have in all of Jewish history, why people stay in the Golos. But in any event, the second Kedusha, says the Rambam, is a far stronger Kedusha than the first. Because we have here, as we'll use Rabbi Zalman's explanation of dat hanotein, the dat hamekabel, the kevan she'ala Ezra v'kitsha, the lo kitsha v'kibush elo b'chazaka she'chziku bo, ulefikach kol makom she'chziku bo olei bavel, v'nitkadesh b'kdushat Ezra ha'shniya hu mekudash hayom. Wow, that scares me a little bit. Why did we say that Trumot Maestro today is not Min HaTorah? What is the Rambam saying here? Everything which Ezra conquered is sanctified today, meaning in the days of the Rambam, and it doesn't make any difference between the days of the Rambam or the days of the building of Hashmonaim. It's the same thing. The Yachalpi Shenilkecha Ha'aretz Mimenu. Even though we weren't here all of the time. The Chaya V'Shvi Tu B'Maisrot Al HaDerech Shebi'arnu B'Hilchot Truma. Here is where we come to our problem. So at this point we would say, wonderful. Not so wonderful. We're not ready for it yet. But therefore, Shemitah should be Min HaTorah. Trumot and Maestrot should be Min HaTorah. But the Rambam says, would you kindly look to what I said in Hilchot Trumot. What does the Rambam say there? He says as follows. HaTruma bizman hazeh, vafilu b'makom shehichziku olei bavel, vafilu b'mei Ezra, eina min HaTorah ela midivrehem. It is rabbinic. Isn't this contradictory? Didn't the Rambam just say that the second sanctification was a permanent sanctification and Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha? So how does the Rambam say that these things are rabbinic in nature? She'ein lecha truma shel Torah ela be'eretz Yisrael bilvad ubizman shekol Yisrael sham. We meet the majority of the Jews. Call doesn't mean call. Rubo kekulo. We need the majority of Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. Shine'emar ki tavo bi'at kulchem kishahayu b'Yerusha shniya u'kikmo sheheim atidim lachzor b'Yerusha shlishit. Now those of you who know a little Chumash, and immediately say, that doesn't make any sense, that Pasuk Ki Tavo. Nowhere. Have any Balei Kriya here? Nowhere does the Torah, in speaking of Trumot and Maisrot, use the expression Ki Kavod. And the Ravid, of course, jumps on the Rambam here and he says, what are you talking about? There is no such verse. What do you mean by Ki Kavod? Therefore, we need all of the people in Eretz Yisrael. Nowhere does the Torah use the words Ki Kavod El Haaretz in terms of Trumot and Maisrot. There are a number of approaches. One approach says that when the Rambam says Ki Tavod, he really means one of the kinds of truma is the challah, which we are mafrish min ha'isa, from the dough. And in challah, the Torah uses the word bivo'achem, when you come. And that's what the Rambam means. But that's extremely, extremely difficult. And if I may, with your permission, I'd like to give you another explanation, an explanation which I think is extremely, extremely strong. The Chaim Soloveitchik, the Chaim, the great-grandfather of Rabbi Yeshaber Soloveitchik, or Rosei Bill Soloveitchik, says as follows. What do we just say about Trumot and Maisrot? But what do they depend upon for us to be able to discern which year and what to separate? What does it depend upon? Shemitah, correct? Years 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Well, how does the Torah, and I'm not going to give you a test, but that was in the first shiur that we had in Shemitah. How does the Torah begin the halachot of Shemitah in Parshat Bahar? Ki tavo el haaretz asher ani noten lachem v'shafta haaretz shabbat vashem. So the Rambam means, says Reb Chaim, that since all of Trumot and Maisrot are dependent on Shemitah, and just as Shemitah meets Ki Tavod El Haaretz, if you don't have the Ki Tavod of Shemitah, you don't have Maaser, the difference between Maaser Sheni and Maaser Ani. Or the difference between Maaser Sheni and Ani on one hand, and the difference between Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni on the other hand. You don't have the year's differentiation that we had here of Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Ani, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Ani. All depends on Shemitah. So in other words, and here, if I may quote the Chazon Ish, and I'm going to quote the Chazon Ish, and My friend of many years here, I was very, very happy to see him, a great Talmid Chacham, Rav Hecht, who I had the pleasure of working with together at Yeshivat Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. I was never a student there. I learned in Chicago, but for some reason, when I was working on a doctorate, Dr. Dokin invited me to Yeshiva, and I came anyway. That's when I had this chut of meeting Rav Hecht. I want to quote what the Rambam has, what the Chazon Ish has to say about this. V'im yavo rov Yisrael le'eretz Yisrael af bizman hagalut tachzor chiyuv trumot u'maisrot lihiyot min haTorah. In other words, if the majority of Am Yisrael will come to Eretz Yisrael, Trumot and Maisrot will become in HaTorah. In other words, this is not something that needs, as the Chazon Ish, Biat HaGoel. Although the Rambam used the expression of Kemoshe Yeh B'Pam HaShlishit, but he says no. If the majority of Jews will come to Eretz Yisrael this week. Now let's get back to our topic. Trumot and Maisrot is the Rabbanon. Now, what are the dinim of the various things? First of all, let's take Truma Gedola. That's supposed to go to Mr. Cohn. Remember, Mr. Cohn, and there was no measure given in the Torah. Mina Torah, chita achat poteret et akeri. You have a tremendous amount of food. One little wheat seed is sufficient for Truma Gedola. However, Chazal said, when there was a Kohen and we gave him Truma Gedola, the choice was, the average choice was 1 in 50. The one who was a little more generous, 1 in 40. And if he was a little tighter, he gave 1/60th for Truma Gedola. And it was given to Mr. Kohen and Mr. Kohen and Mrs. Kohen and Miss Kohen, and the son Kohen could eat it on one condition, that they were tahor. There was no tumat hamet and no tumat hanida. And I point this out now, which means that in the time that we gave, and the same thing will be with Maaser Sheni, that we gave Truma Gedola to the Kohen, all young unmarried women who were the daughters of Kohanim went to the mikveh, because they could not eat from the truma unless they were tahor. After their period began, they had to go to the mikveh. But this was true about all Jewish women, as we'll see in a few minutes. Now today, we have no Kohen, and everybody is tummy, and all we'll be doing is destroying if we were to give 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th. So we say, how much does the Torah say to give? The smallest amount. But we must give that smallest amount. We're going to call that Hayoter Me'achad Mimea. I know that sounds a little confusing. That little bit more than the 100th, because that 100th, remember that the lady will, let's call it a Mashahu. That's what we will give today. And after we will separate it, and we'll see after we're separated, we will take the truma, wrap it up in a piece of newspaper, not throw it into the garbage can. And remember, this is not a test. Remember what we said about Kedushat Shvi, the Psak of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach? One does not have to have Shemitah pails, because he says that truma, where the Torah uses the word mishmeret trumati, it's sufficient to wrap it up and put it into a pail. So those things that you're throwing away that have kedushat shvi, you can't throw it directly into the garbage can, but you can wrap it up and throw it away. Now, Mr. Levy is to receive 10%. I separate that 10%. I can't make this less, because the Torah says it has to be 10%. The Torah uses the words, "Ulnei Levi hinei natati kol maser b'Yisrael." Maser, 10% is 10%. So we must separate it. Now, what happens to Maaser Rishon? It can be eaten by anybody. It should be given. There are two parts to the mitzvah. There is the mitzvah of hafrasha, of separating it. And then, of course, it belongs to Mr. Levy. However, are we sure who is a Levy today? We don't have to give it to a person that we have. We don't. I'm sure, and I hope I'm not insulting anybody who has a Masorah that his family are Levim, but it's not a certain kind of Levim. So therefore, we have a halacha in Choshen Mishpat. If something is obligated to be given to somebody, and I don't know who to give it to, Hamotzi Mechaveiro, he who wants to take something from somebody else, alav hara'aya, it is upon him the onus of proving that he is Mr. Levy. And if somebody could prove that he is Mr. Levy, then we would give him the 10%. But we can't. But we must separate it, otherwise we will have treif. But we don't call it treif. We call it tevel. If we don't separate it, we can't eat it, and it is called tevil. So what do we do today? We will separate the maaser rishon. And you know, Mr. Levy was to give 10% of what he received, he was to give it to the Kohen. That obligation is still there on the products that we have. So therefore, what are we going to say? We have 10, remember we had 100 apples and a little piece of an apple. That little piece of an apple was Truma Gedola. Now we have to take 10% for Maaser Rishon. 10% of 100 is 10. But Mr. Levy is obligated to give 10% of that to Mr. Cohn. But there is no Mr. Levy to receive it. There is no Mr. Cohn to receive it. So we are obligated to separate that 1% that Mr. Levy should separate, plus the mashahu for Truma Gedola. Is that clear? We have to take a mashahu, the smallest amount, for Truma Gedola, and then we have to take 1% of what is left of the total for Trumat Maaser. And that, after we're going to see how we separate it, we wrap it up and we throw it away. The rest of Maaser Rishon, we eat, because it's Baal Tashrit. If we're going to wait for some Mr. Levy to come and prove that he's a Levy, all that food will be wasted. And it doesn't have to be wasted. Once it was separated properly, the food becomes kosher. In other words, even in the time that Mr. Cohn and Mr. Levy were around, I could put it away in my storehouse, and I could eat the rest of the food. There was a certain time, Biur Maestro, that I had to get rid of it. But I could, once I have separated there, as I said, there are two parts to the mitzvah. There is the separation in order to permit me to eat the rest of the products. And then there is the giving. The giving is a little difficult. Okay? Now we come to what's called Maaser Sheni, right? Remember, year 1 and 2, year 4 and 5, we are to separate 10% what is left after we separated Truma Gedola, Maaser Rishon, and Trumat Maaser. So what were we left with? 90 apples, right? Correct? If we had 190, we have to take 9 apples and call them Maaser Sheni. Now, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, theoretically, I could take those 9 apples and go to Jerusalem and eat them, but they had to be eaten b'tahara, which again means that if I bring my family to Jerusalem, and I don't have that in my family, if I have lots of it, as we'll see, and I change it into money, we'll see in a moment, I can invite a lot of people to eat from the food of Maaser Sheni on one condition, that everybody who eats of the food of Maaser Sheni does not have too much mate, or which is paraduma, of course, that no mikveh in the world will help, or tumat nida, which means that every Jewish girl who went to Yerushalayim with her family, with Maaser Sheni, made it her business if she could go to the mikveh. She went to the mikveh even before she was married in order to be able to eat the Maaser Sheni. Now you understand what I said, not only the Kohanim, but every Jewish girl, even before she was married, went to the mikveh in order to fulfill the mitzvah of eating Maaser Sheni. However, the Torah says, V'miyach yirchak l'chadr. It's very far to Yerushalayim. So, you know what you can do? Let's say you have a tremendous amount of Maaser Sheni. You have 10,000 shekel of Maaser Sheni. A lot of Maaser Sheni. You don't have to put it onto a wagon, says the Torah, and bring it to Jerusalem. You can redeem it for money, and the money you bring to Yerushalayim, wait, with an addition, you bring that money to Yerushalayim, and then you go to the David Citadel, David Segal Citadel Hotel, you got lots of money, you invite lots of people to eat with you, you pay for food, and everybody comes to your party and enjoys the Meiser Sheni. However, you have to do something if you're taking the money to Jerusalem. The Torah says you must add a fifth. Now here, what would all the mathematicians, all the children who studied mathematics will say that a fifth is how much? 20%. No. A fifth in the Torah is 25%. We divide what we have into four parts and add an additional fifth. You follow what I'm saying? So if I have 10,000 shekel of Meiser Sheni, it means if I divide it into four parts, it's 2,500 shekel, 2,500, 2,500, 2,500, and I add a fifth equal part of 2,500 shekel. So when the Torah uses the word fifth, it is not 20%, but it's 25% more. In other words, I'm a big farmer, I have 10,000 shekel of Meiser Sheni, I redeem it for money, I put it into money, the money receives the Kedusha of Meiser Sheni, reminds us of the Kedusha Shvi'it and the money of Shvi'it. I add 25%, I go to Jerusalem and I say, all the people who attended all three shiurim and that we've had here, this is the last one of them, come with me to Yerushalayim, we're going to have a Sudat Mitzvah for learning of Torah, and I invite you all to eat with us. Under the conditions of what we have to have in Torah. What do we do today? What do we do today? Chazal tell us that if somebody were to go ahead and have 10,000 shekel of Meiser Sheni, in money, and he takes that money and he puts it into one pruta, and today I called the Keren HaMaisrot to find out what is one pruta today. What is it? Oh yeah, here it is. And I found out that a pruta today is 6.7 agurot. 6.7 agurot. There is a Keren HaMaisrot besides the one in Ashkelon that deals with the Otsar Haaretz. There is a Keren HaMaisrot in Yerushalayim that you can call them at any time, and you can find that, you know, if you look at the television, you'll see how much the arrow is every day and what is the dollar every day. But nobody seems to want to know what is a pruta, the amount that's called a pruta. But we want to know that, because as we'll see in a few minutes, so since the halacha says I can take all of the Meiser Sheni that I have and put it into one pruta, so normally that would be stealing. We don't want to waste anything today. We can't eat Meiser Sheni. We can't bring it to Yerushalayim. We are not tahor to eat it. So we use this process. We take all of the Meiser Sheni in the end and put it into a pruta. Now people will say, I got my trees in the backyard. How am I going to start changing and putting the Meiser Sheni and all of that? You don't have to do that. Because, as I say, there are people who worried about you. The Keren HaMaisrot, you can become a member. And you become a member, and it's something like, let's see, I don't know if I have the receipt, my last receipt here, something like a 30 shekel a year. And all of the Meiser Sheni that you have, you say, I redeem it. The pruta which the Keren HaMaisrot has for me, and you are a member, they have prutot for you, and that's the easiest way to do it. You don't have that? Not too difficult. How much is 6.7? At least how many times into a shekel can you use a shekel? What is it, 14 times?
Are the mathematicians here? 14 is right. 14. How much is 14 times 7? 98? So 7, for every shekel, you can take 7 times, take all of the kedusha that's in the Maaser Sheni and say, I put it into a pruta in this shekel. You keep that shekel. When the shekel fills up, you can put it into a 10 agorot piece, because 10 agorot is more than a shekel. You can destroy that now, or you can destroy it at the time of Biur Maisrot. That can be destroyed at the right time. Not now, but can be destroyed, and then you can use the shekel again. Because this principle is one we want to use in order not to waste any money. What about Maaser Ani? Well, of course, that's obvious. At the time that we were giving Maaser Ani, we have to give it. We have to give Maaser Ani today. Because Maaser Ani, there are poor people. And Maaser Ani has no restrictions. Anybody, any person can eat it. But we have to, without tahara, without anything. So what do we do today? Again, if you want, you can send a contribution to this Keren HaMaisrot. Incidentally, this year is the year of Maaser Ani, because we're in the sixth year. And they will, but you don't have to do that. You know a poor Jew somewhere. You give him 100 shekel, 200 shekel. You say, this is a loan to you. I will take it back. In other words, instead of me giving you 3 apples each time, you're not going to have any enjoyment from those 3 apples. I am giving you a sum of money, which you certainly can use for your family. And that sum of money will cover all of the Maaser Ani that I have. And if there's a little bit left, so you'll have a little more to enjoy. This is the way we can do it too. We can help. We can give a poor family. I don't know how many of you have trees that you have the problem of Maaser Ani in your yards. Do you? Any of you have? And if you have Maaser, I don't know which of the systems you've used with Maaser Ani, but you... Maaser Ani, by the way, does not have to be taken on Suffolk Maaser. Let's say you're not sure if the store you bought at separated. The poskim all say, forget about Maaser Ani if there is a possibility if they say it was separated. Now, how does this work today? How does it work? This is what we... Let's see how it works. We have here a piece of chalk, something?
Here's a...
Okay. You'll excuse my Rembrandt. It's not very great, but... Schwach, schwach. Maybe we can be without it. We have 100 squares, and each one is an apple. And a little bit more. It doesn't matter if I have 10 apples. So it'll be, we can figure this out in a second. I then put the 10 apples on the table. They're from my own yard. I have to make a bracha. So I go ahead and I make a bracha before I start. And the bracha, in case... anybody doesn't know the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kilishanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu Lahafrish Trumot U'maisrot. Then, I have 100 apples, and that little piece with it. I take that little piece, and here we use directions, only because it's to separate everything in its right place. And I say as follows, Yoter mi'echad mi'meya sheyeshkan. Remember, ultimately, the entire truma will be 1/100th, correct, of the amount? And this mashu. Well, this mashu, this yoter mi'echad mi'meya, not the echad mi'meya, the yoter mi'echad mi'meya sheyeshkan, Harehu Truma Gedola Betzad Tzafon. I don't know which is east, west, north. I assume, let's see, if we're facing Yerushalayim from here, so this must be, this has to be east or a southern. Okay, that's north? Okay, so I have here my, I put them on the side. I put here, Yoter mi'achad mi'meya, that little piece. Betzat safon harehu truma gedola. Now, what do I say after that? Oto echad mi'meya sheyesh kan. Remember, we talked about a 1/100th, which is going to be sheyesh kan. Ve'ot tishah halakim kemoto betzat sfonam shalaperot. And another 9 apples on the north side. What do we say about all of these things here? What do we say here? Harehu Maiser Rishon. Because in order to take the Trumat Maiser, which Mr. Levy has to give to Mr. Cohn, we have to first call it Maiser. Then after we do that, Oto echad mimeya shasiti maiser rishon asui trumat maiser. So this is very simple. On the north side, we have 10 apples and a little piece, it would be the same. I take approximately a small amount. 10 apples, so 10 apples, 10% of them would be one apple, right? So I make that one apple to Maiser Rishon, and I take a tenth of that off, and I put it together with that Mashu. That is what I have to get rid of. So you'll say, what is that? It's not very much. But when you go to a company like Carmel Mizrahi, and they are Mafrish, Trumot, and Maestrot on millions and millions of liters of wine, you can imagine what they spill out. Because this is Usur, the Truma Gedola, and the Trumat Maiser cannot be eaten. And if you have peaches, you can do the very same thing. You have 10 peaches, 8 peaches. It doesn't matter if you'll take a little more. But don't waste, especially. By the way, since we don't give the Truma to anybody, you can take the not so nice part and make it. Actually, the Torah calls, when the Torah speaks about Truma Gedola, you know what the Torah calls it? Chalav. It calls it the nicest part. Because if Mr. Cohn were around, we'd want to give him nice Truma. But we don't have Mr. Cohn. And it's going to be thrown into the garbage. So we can take from the fruit, the part of the fruit that anyway you might want to cut away, and use that for Truma Gedola and Trumat Maiser. Okay, that was good for all the years. Remember, Truma Gedola, Maiser Rishon, Trumat Maiser years 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But what about year 1, 2, and 4, and 5? We must take also Maiser Sheni. So how much were we left with? How many apples? 90 apples. Remember? We had 100 apples. We made 10 Maiser Rishon. We took away one apple and the Mashu. We're left with 90 apples. Now, that which we call Trumot to Maiser don't come into the 10%. We're left, so we now take 9 apples. And we say, the 9 apples on the south side of the pile of apples, just to separate them, are Maiser Sheni. And it is redeemed with the pruta, either, that I have put away for Maiser Sheni, meaning I've kept them, or the pruta that the Keren HaMaisrot has for Maiser Sheni. What happens to that Maiser Sheni? I called it Maiser Sheni. It received Kedusha of Maiser Sheni. The moment I redeemed it for the money, everybody can eat it. If it is the year 3 and 6, that very same amount, those 9 at the bottom, are Maiser Ani. And you can say, Hareza Maiser Ani La'anim. And then you know you gave Mr. Greenberg, the fellow who has a real tough time making a living, you gave him a couple of 100 shekel. which will well cover the Maaser Rishon. And you made an agreement with him that every time you take off and you take those fruit for yourself, he's paying back this loan to you. And he's received that. He receives it in his ownership. That's what we do. This is the basic dinim of Trumot Maaser. Trumot Maaser today in Eretz Yisrael are far better. There's a far better hashgacha than when I first came to Eretz Yisrael. In 1959, when I came to Keren B'Yavne, so we came in Aliyah, 2 years after we were married, we decided we're going to only, it's time to raise our children only in Eretz Yisrael. Well, Hashem for that. And it was a terrible situation. No, there was no real organization. If you go to Yerushalayim today, and you go to the Tnuva marketplace at 3 a.m, you will see Mashgichim working and being Mafrish Trumot Maaserot. It's such a good feeling because people generally don't know what to do. However, I must say this, and this is something that I had quite an argument with the rabbinate, the Rabbanut HaRashit, some years ago. I went to them and I said, you know what? You send, what are they called? Carmel, I believe. The Carmel products, right? Isn't that what they call the fruits and the vegetables they send to Chutz Laretz? They're called Carmel, something like that, right? And you send them out, and according to most Rishonim, even when they're in Chutz Laretz, they're Tevel. And their first reaction to me was, so there are rabbis in Chutz Laretz. They should take care of it. Just like we take care of our products before it's sold in a store, they should take care of it. I was not successful. The only thing I was once successful with, and I don't think it's said there anymore, is in terms of Pata Babi Kisnin. And my good friend, Rabbi Beryl Wein, who was a chevrut of mine in Chicago in the yeshiva, he was for a while head of the OU Kashrut. And I went with him and I pleaded with them, don't ever call it a mezonotrol, because it doesn't fit the laws of mezonotrols that we find in Siman Kuf Samachet, Sivad and Siv Zayin about Pata Babi Kisnin. There is no such thing as a mezonotrol, especially not for Ashkenazim. And secondly, when you take that mezonotrol and your koveya su'uda, then you have to make a motzi. Some of my students, they go into the restaurants here in Israel, and all of a sudden the waitresses become poskei hador. They tell them, this is the mezonotrol. You don't have to wash when you eat it with your meal. But I make it my business pretty early in the year to tell these students to say, you know what, we're eating a seuda. And even if it were a mezonotrol, we'd have to make a motzi. And secondly, according to what we have studied in Shulchan Aruch, it's pretty hard to find. The Ramah says a mezonotrol has to be a majority of liquid that is not water and has to be more cakeish than breadish. Did you ever eat a mezonotrol? It seems like a sweet challah, right? It's a sweet challah. Sweet challah is chayav v'hamotzi. I have never found such a thing as a mezonotrol. It is the biggest, what should I say? But anyway, getting back to Trumot and Maestro, I did not succeed. The only thing is, I was very proud that in my hometown, the CRC, the Chicago Rabbinical Council, in some of the major supermarkets in the city, have mashkichim for the Carmel products that they take Trumot and Maestro. I don't know of any other city on the American continent that Rabbi Hecht, you know, in Queens, do they do it? The rabbis of Queens, the rabbis of the five towns, the rabbis, what do they call them? The rabbis of the five towns, what do they call the NC something in New Jersey, NCBJ or something, the ones that I know of, none of them that do it. In other words, this is a very serious problem. Okay. Oh my gosh, time is up. Let me just go there. Did you,
Did you bring these charts with you today? Oh boy, then I have to go into a little bit.
We'll go back through them. This is basically, if I could put in 1 hour, and I ask forgiveness for the superficiality of the shiur. Because if in 1 hour I'm going to be able to explain Trumo to Maestro, Bisman Beit HaMikdash and Bisman Azer, I can't, I'm sorry, I couldn't, probably didn't do a good job, but that's it. Anyway. What? Yes.
If I'm out in my yard, food on my tree is just so tempting and I want to eat it.
You can eat it because you didn't bring it in. If from your yard you packed it into boxes and were sending it off to market, and that was the gemira, the finishing it, and in the yard, you have to take if you put it in the box. But if you're in your yard and you want to eat a fruit and it has not come into your house yet, you may eat it. We're not going to go. So again, I'd love to go through the halacha on this and to explain what is considered nishmar and so forth, but you may eat it. Okay?
We're picking berries
In Gush Etzion or in Golan, you can eat it as long as you're keeping it there. You put it into your basket to take home, it's chayav in Trumot and Maaser.
But your backyard is not like a field.
It doesn't enter the house. If it doesn't enter the doors of your back door or wherever it is, then you can eat it without hafrosha truma to maestro. If you eat it out there, once you bring it in, it's chayav in truma to maestro. Okay?
When you grow herbs in pots,
where are they grown?
In flower pots.
In the house?
Outside.
Something grown even in a pot which has no hole at the bottom is chayav in trumot maestro.
And what about herbs that you don't eat but you put in your tea, your nana?
Oh, there's a great machloket on that. But Shlomo Zalman has a tendency on those herbs to say that you're not chayav in trumot maestro because it's not really ochel, it's not the ochel, it's a tam. I really don't know what to say. But if you're Mekel, yesh al nili smoch. That's what I would say. Lemons are edible. Lemons are eaten. Lemons, people slice them up and put them into salads and stuff. Lemons are considered an edible fruit. Okay, let's look at this chart. I also was very impressed because the truth is, I have to admit that the chart which I gave to be printed was not as thorough as this chart is. The Otsar Haaretz has come out with a far better chart since I received the first one. And any of you who, I got to be very careful in this community, but I just want to say that if any of you joined the Otsar Haaretz, have you received the book? That's the safer. However, the latest one is I think you may have the latest one. That is excellent. It's in Hebrew, but that is a real excellent direction to the keeping of Shemitah. Now, let's look at some of the things on your page here. Let's take the most common of all. Let's look at tomatoes and page 391. I'm not going to go through everything here. Tomatoes, okay? Let's review a little bit about Shemitah. We'll try to make it as fast as possible. Tomatoes which were growing in the sixth year may be eaten. There is no Iser Svichim. Remember we talked about the Iser of Svichim in vegetables. They may be eaten. There is a Shita of the Rambam, which is not brought lahalacha, that most of the growth has to take place in the sixth year, but we don't pass the psak halacha that was accepted. Is it brought here? I think it is brought here at one point. Yes. Look at note number 2 on page 1. It says here, Zman Iser Svichim Biyarakot. The time of the prohibition of svichim and vegetables nikva al pi haminhag lahakel biyurakot shenaftu lifnei hashmita. If the vegetables began to form before the shmita, even if the majority of the vegetable grew in the shmita year, there is no iser svichim. However, let's see what it says here about our tomatoes or tomatoes. If we look at the first column, we see it says Kedushat Shvi. Kedushat Shvi in vegetables is determined Bisman Halekita, when they are taken from the ground, which means something, a vegetable that grew in the sixth year may be eaten, but may have to be treated with the sanctity of Shvi'it. Why? Because, and there's a little bit of a mistake here, I really feel that they should be ashamed of themselves. When did they say that the Kedushat Shvi'it starts here, this year? Gimel Tishrei Tovshin Samachet. What is Gimel Tishrei Tovshin Samachet this year? Shabbat Kodesh. Because Rosh Hashanah is Thursday and Friday, and we don't look at the Shabbat this year, it would have been but Galut Tishrei. In other words, anything which can have been picked as of Motzaei Shabbat after Havdalah in the year of Shemitah in the tomato may be eaten, but has to be treated with all that we learned about the sanctity of Shvi'it. Now, what's the next thing we find here? Svichim me'alef teveit tafshin samachet. What does that mean? Okay, we've just passed Rosh Hashanah, we went through the month of Tishrei, Cheshvan, and Kislev. During Tishrei, Cheshvan, and Kislev, farmers can plant tomatoes during the sabbatical year. And those first tomatoes, according to the experts here, will be ready to be eaten and will come to the market on Aleph Teveit Tovshin Samachet. So if we were to buy tomatoes, just buy them in a store or from anybody, buy tomatoes after Aleph Teveit, they will have what is called an Iser Svichim. If you remember from the Shi'ur, this is rabbinic in nature. The rabbi said, because people came along and said, you know that these tomatoes that I have, seeds fell by themselves and they came and they're germinated. I didn't do a thing in planting them. But he did plant them. So Chachamim said that there is an Iser of Svichim. Now, how long does that Iser continue? In vegetables, the cutoff date is that first candle lighting of the year after Shvi'it. In other words, even if there should be a tomato which was planted during the year of Shemitah, and I'm buying it in the first day of Hanukkah, my children are off from school, and I send them to the store to buy tomatoes. Even if they were planted in Shemitah, the Chachamim remove the Iser of Svichim. And remember, min haTorah, what does the Torah say about the products of Shemitah? V'hayta Shabbat ha'aretz lachem le'ochla. Eat product of Shvi'it. According to the Ramban, it's a mitzvah to eat product of Shvi'it. In other words, if you ask the Ramban, what is a bigger mitzvah on Erev Sukkot? To eat a tomato that grew in Eretz Yisrael that has Kedushat Shvi'it, is coming from, or to eat a tomato which was imported from Cyprus. According to the Ramban, the tomato from Cyprus has no Kedusha, and there's no mitzvah of eating it. And since there is no Iser Svichim till Aleph Teveit, eat that tomato that nourishes you, but treat it with Kedusha Shvi'it. In other words, the little part that you're going to throw away, don't throw it directly into the garbage. Wrap it up and do what we learned today to do with Truma Gedola and Trumat Meiser. Then, with Svichim, absent. And Zman HaBiur, Ein Biur. Why is there not Biur? And if you will notice, there's a little number here, and the number is 3. What did we learn about Biur? V'lebehemtecha v'lechaya asher basadeh Tihiyeh kol tfuatcha le'echol. Remember, we learned the Shita Tarambam, and that wasn't accepted in halacha. We learned the Shita Taravid, that was not accepted in halacha. The Shita Taramban was accepted in halacha, that when there is no longer in the field, that's, no matter how it got there, there is no more for the behema and chaya to be able to eat that product, then you have a din of bila. But tomatoes in Eretz Yisrael, the botanists say, are in the field all the time. So therefore, there is no mitzvah of bila, there's no date. If you should save tomatoes and put them into a bottle and pickle them, you don't have to worry about a zman biur of taking them out and making them hefker and then bringing them back into the house, because there is no biur, because there is no period of the year in Eretz Yisrael that the behema and the chaya who is in the field cannot find food to eat. Is that clear? Is that quite clear? In other words, now let's go to some of the fruits and let's take by the way, I must apologize. I translated, and they were so nice because they left it. Ochmaniyot, according to Professor Felix, is blackberries, but Ochmaniyot in Eretz Yisrael is called blueberries. Correct? Blueberries. And out of respect for me, and I'm not sure I'm right, they left the word blackberries, but you can put down the word blueberries, but it really doesn't make any difference, because they don't grow in Eretz Yisrael. There is no kedusha to them. There is no beer. There are blueberries. Oh, then if there are blueberries, then they mean for Ochmaniyot blackberries, and they don't have blueberries here. You're certain that they're being grown now?
2 weeks ago, one of the guys
because I'll tell you, somebody, called me from Buenos Aires, a rich American, and he's got tremendous fields of blueberries, blackberries. Question is of Orla, if they are trees or not trees. I'm not going into that now. And he wanted to know what to do. He says, I have to know, because you know what? There are no blueberries and blackberries in Eretz Yisrael, and I export a tremendous amount of them to Eretz Yisrael. So he wanted to know if there, by the way, there is a din of Orla, if a Jew knows about it in Chutzlar. So we're not going into the Orla now, too, but I'm just saying, so therefore I was really convinced that there are no blueberries and blackberries, but again, don't know, as my grandson would, just to give me an answer, if he didn't know, so don't know, Saba. So I don't know. Anyway, let's take something that we find. Let's take peaches. Peaches. Now, remember, in fruit, the determination, fruit grows on a tree. And by the way, the Shafta Ha'aret Shabbat Lashem, he whoever wants to say that Shemitah is so the land will rest, the land never rests. The land is always working. It's always producing. V'shafta ha'aret Shabbat Lashem. Remember what Rav Kook said? You have a chiyuv to see that the land, and those mitzvot that I have given to you, the four loving, the four negative commandments, that's your, but the land never rests. Where does the land rest? You mean to say that in all of your gardens when you have fruit trees next year, there aren't going to be any fruits? Now, when do the fruits receive Kedushat Shvi'it? When the fruit begins to form on the tree, and you see the little fruit on the tree. So you see that peaches will begin to, peaches, of course, when they will not start with Tishrei Cheshvan. There are no peaches which are forming. When it comes to Aleph Adar, Tafshin Samachet, there will be Kedushat Shvi'it in the peaches. And the Kedushat Shvi'it will go on until Aleph Adar Tovshin Samach Tet. And, however, there will be no peaches of the year of Shvi'it on the trees, according to the botanists, by Aleph Kislev Tovshin Samach Tet. Meaning, the Kislev after Shemitah, there will not be any fruit that has Kedushat Shvi'it on the tree. There will not be any Kedushat Shvi'it on the tree. How? And therefore, if I should have peaches, and I can the peaches, I cook them, and I put them into a bottle, and I vacuum close, what do you, vacuum pack them or something like that? Is it possible to do that in peaches? Yeah. And then comes Aleph Kislev Tovshin Samachtet. I have to take those peaches out of my house, take them into the street, and say to a friend of mine, do you want to take them? They are hefker. And two people, three people, there's a machloket, nobody takes them, the Ramban says, bring them into the house. But you must go through, if something has biur, you have to go through the process of biur at the date which is given here. And especially people, I want to tell you, when it comes to grape juice and wine, this you'll find there'll be lots of grape juice with Kedusha tree. Drink it. According to the Ramban, you'll have a mitzvah. But remember what I told you about that Havdalah. No hoogie-boogies of spilling out Havdalah because you can't waste Kedushat Shvi'it. They have to be eaten and drank. You cannot make hoogie-boogie, you know, and put them on your ears and on your feet or wherever they put them. You cannot. Only thing you can do with Kedushat Shvi'it in terms of food is eat it. However, what will happen to the grape juice? Well, the grape juice, Pesach, of the year afterwards is the Zman Biur. So Erev Pesach, if you have a case of Carmel Mizrach, not if you have, what's the name of the company, Kedem in America? No, so you have Kedem. There's no mitzvah to drink Kedem according to the Ramban. There is a mitzvah to drink, and I don't want to give one company over the other, but any one of the grape juices in Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban will say there's a mitzvah to drink it. V'hayta Shabbat ha'aretz lachem la'achla. However, when Erev Pesach will come, the year after Shemitah, if you bought a case of it, you'll take it outside, you'll tell your friends, if you really want to take it, you can take it, it's hefker. Nobody takes it, you take it back to your house, and you can use it. You don't have Zman Biur, it's very bad. However, now when it comes to fruit, remember what we said about Kedushat Shvi'it. I hope, it is my opinion, because I understand that I don't want to run into difficulties with the rabbi in this community. It is my opinion that everybody should join the Otsar Haaretz. And perhaps there's going to be a center here in Hashmonaim, and you will go in and you will be able to, all of the products that have Kedushat Shvi'it, you won't have the problem of how to buy them, you won't need the credit card, and you won't need all of the other things because V'hayta Shabbat Haaretz Lachem La'achla V'lo L'schora. Because when you will when you will receive it with the coupons of Otsar Haaretz in your store, in your craft distribution center, I don't want to call it a store, I was told, because a store means you're buying it, in the distribution place in Hashmonaim, you will not have the problem of purchasing it, you'll be able to do it with these coupons, and I hope that you'll have this. Okay, in Yirtz Hashem,
the prices standardized. No,
there are no prices yet. They probably probably will be a little higher. If you choose to buy Aza products of the Ada Haredi, they probably will be cheaper. I tell you, those of us who will choose to use the Otsar Haaretz will probably be paying more. I'll tell you why. Because remember, they have to make all kinds of deals with the farmers, and it has to be worthwhile for the farmer to give them all of the products. I don't think they say it's not going to be much more. I don't know if it's going to be
more. The question that I asked was if you buy it at Hashmonaim, or you buy it in Jerusalem, are the prices identical?
It did not prices. You get the coupon. I guess they'll have, standard prices. Standard prices. I think so. I don't know. I don't know. What? Now, if you have a bigger family and you need more than 50 shekel a month, that'll be no problem. They will, you can just see to it. Or they may say to you that since it is otsar bedin, you can pay for the product because you're not paying for the fruit. You're paying for the expenses and all around it. So I wouldn't be, nothing would bother me if you take out another 20 shekel, or even the credit card would be better, but if you take out even 20 shekel and pay for it, because it's mutar, you're not paying for the fruit.
I understand what the question I have.
Is I don't know yet what they're going to do. They don't know. I don't know. Let's hope. Let me just say something. If we are zoche to shmita with this otsar haaretz and not buying products of Hamas, it will be well worth it. And if somebody thinks that by buying the Arab products in Eretz Yisrael, there isn't a greater iser in halacha of lo techanein, of giving them Hanaya in Eretz Yisrael, then let him go to Kiryat Sefer and support the Hamas. Okay.